But indeed that young man, having secured for all time to come the good report that becomes both your piety and his own, departed from this mortal life, as it were from a banquet, before falling into any of the unseemly excess that accompanies extreme old age. And if the account given by the ancient poets and philosophers is true, as is likely, then for the pious among the departed there is a certain honor and precedence, as is said, and a place set apart in which their souls dwell. And you ought to have good hopes concerning your blessed son, that he has been numbered among these and dwells with them. Pindar the lyric poet says the following about the pious in Hades. For them, the strength of the sun shines during the night here below, and in meadows of red roses, their suburb is shaded with frankincense and laden with golden fruit. And some of them delight in horses and in exercises, others in drafts, and others in lyres, and among them all flourishing prosperity blooms, and a lovely fragrance spreads always through that region, as they mingle all manner of offerings with far-shining fire upon the altars of the gods. And going on a little further, in another dirge speaking about the soul, he says, but all, by a blessed fate, attain an end that releases them from toil. And the body follows death, which is mighty over all, but a living image of eternity is left behind, for that alone comes from the gods. It sleeps while the limbs are active, but to those who sleep it reveals in many a dream a judgment of pleasant and harsh things that is coming. Now the divine Plato has said a great deal about the immortality of the soul in his Dialogue on the Soul, and no little in the Republic, the Meno, and the Gorgias, and scattered remarks in the other dialogues as well. The statements made in the Dialogue on the Soul I shall present to you set down separately in my own notes, as you requested. But for the present purpose, what was said to Callicles the Athenian, a companion and pupil of Gorgias the orator, will be timely and useful. For the Socrates of Plato says, listen, then, they say, to a very fine account, which you, I think, will consider a myth, but which I consider a true account. For what I am about to tell you, I shall tell you as being true. As Homer says, Zeus, Poseidon, and Pluto divided the rule among themselves when they took it over from their father. Now there was this law concerning men, in force even in the time of Cronus, and still in effect now among the gods, that the man who has passed through life justly and piously departs, when he dies, to the Isles of the Blessed, and dwells there in complete happiness free from evils, while the one who has lived unjustly and impiously goes to the prison of justice and retribution, which they call Tartarus. Of these men, the judges in the time of Cronus and still recently, when Zeus had just taken over the rule, were living men judging the living, on the very day on which they were about to die. Consequently, the cases were not being judged well. So Pluto and the overseers who came from the Isles of the Blessed went and told Zeus that unworthy men were coming to them from both directions. Zeus then said, well, I will put a stop to this happening. For at present the cases are being judged badly, because, he said, those who are being judged are judged while clothed, that is, while still alive. Many, therefore, he went on, who have wicked souls are clothed in beautiful bodies, good birth, and wealth, and when the judgment takes place, many come forward to testify on their behalf that they have lived justly. The judges, then, are overawed by these witnesses, and at the same time they themselves judge while clothed, having their own eyes and ears and their whole body wrapped as a veil before their soul. All this stands as an obstacle before them, both their own garments and those of the ones being judged. First, then, we must stop them from foreknowing their death in advance, for at present they know it beforehand. This has already been arranged with Prometheus, so that he may put a stop to it. Next, they must be judged naked, stripped of all these things, for they must be judged after death. And the judge too must be naked, dead, beholding with his very soul itself alone, the soul itself of each person the moment after he has died, bereft of all his kin and having left behind on earth all that adornment, so that the judgment may be just. Now I, having realized this before you did, have made my own sons judges, two from Asia, Minos and Rhadamanthes, and one from Europe, Aeacus. These, then, once they have died, shall judge in the meadow at the crossroads from which the two roads lead, one to the Isles of the Blessed, the other to Tartarus. And those from Asia Rhadamanthes shall judge, and those from Europe, Aeacus. And to Minos I shall give the privilege of deciding as an arbiter of last resort, if the other two are at a loss over anything, so that the judgment concerning the journey of men may be as just as possible. This, Calicles, is what I have heard and believe to be true. And from this account, I reckon that the following follows, that death, as it seems to me, happens to be nothing other than the separation of two things from each other, the soul and the body. Having gathered these things together for you, dearest Apollonius, and having composed them with much care, I have produced this consolatory discourse for you, which is most necessary for you both for relief from your present grief and for a respite from the most painful mourning of all. It also contains the honor due to your most God-beloved son Apollonius, an honor most longed for by those who have been consecrated, the honor that comes through good remembrance and unceasing praise for all time to come. You will therefore do well both to be persuaded by this discourse, and in gratifying your blessed son, to turn from the profitless affliction and ruin of body and soul, and come to the manner of life that is customary and natural for you. For just as, while he was living with us, he took no pleasure in seeing either you or his mother downcast, so now too, being with the gods and feasting with them, he would not be pleased by such conduct on your part. Take up, then, the resolve of a good, noble, and child-loving man, and free yourself and the young man's mother and his relatives and friends from such wretchedness, passing over to a calmer and more agreeable manner of life, one more pleasing both to your son and to all of us who care for you as is fitting.